Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
So today we recorded a really awesome episode with Jordan Britt from Philly. She's like a local Philly celebrity. Sarah and I traveled all the way here just to record with her, and we were happy to do it. She was awesome. She shared a bit about like her anxiety, her relationship with grief. She's also engaged to a Philadelphia Eagle, which was really exciting, and she talked to us a bit about that. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
But we were just so excited to have her. And if you're new to our podcast because you found us through Jordan or through some other avenue, we wanted to kind of remind everyone what we're here to do. We're a mental health podcast, and, you know, we've experienced all types of mental health moments in our life, anxiety, depression, and we're just trying to have an honest conversation about it. We're not experts, but we want people to have a resource where they can turn to, where they can see. Otherwise, you know, girls just like you who might be experiencing anxiety, and we want to kind of normalize the conversation.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, our goal is to destigmatize mental health by creating and opening the dialogue and allowing others to maybe open up themselves, because we feel like the more we talk about it, the more comfortable I think people feel with the fact that they might be struggling too. So and maybe hopefully one day we can teach our children that mental health is not something to be ashamed of.
Totally. Agreed.
So yeah, very excited for you to listen to this episode. But before we kick into it,
we wanted to talk about our new We wanted to talk about a new partner to the podcast, Samash New York. So our friend Shira is an amazing business owner. She started her own apparel line, and you'll see some of the apparel on us, on our personal Instagrams, on our podcast Instagram. And we're just like so excited to partner with someone who started her own business. We're all, I mean, our podcast is all about mental health, and that has so many layers. And we think, first of all, the line itself is such comfortable clothing, but
we're wearing it right now.
We're wearing it right now. And Shira is very intent on making clothing that's comfortable, but also that you can feel confident in. And I think that's like one of the first things about mental health is it can often feel like when we're anxious, we don't feel confident in our own skin. And so we're so excited to partner with a brand that like mixes that feeling of comfort with confidence.
Shira is such a powerful woman, and like we are so inspired by her because, you know, she told us her story about her career and how she started off at, you know, her dream job basically, and then she was like, you know what, like I can do better than this. And then there were a couple years where she didn't really know where to go next, and now she's killing it with her own line, and she's really, you know, passionate about this. And we love when people do things that they're passionate about, because that is amazing.
Yeah. All of her clothing is made in the USA. We're going to feature her sweatshirts on our Instagram so you can take a look at them. But they're normally $70. And if you use code IFIF, you get a $10 discount. You can DM Shira for your order. We're just so excited to support someone who's like, you know, doing her own thing.
And I'm not even joking. Like, I have not taken this sweatshirt. Yeah, I'm not amazing. Even just saying that. Like, I have not taken this off in 3 days.
They're so cute, and they come in like comfort colors. They're very like, I don't know, how would you, they're kind of Yeezy season one vibes,
yes,
I would describe them.
Definitely Yeezy vibes, and
minus the Yeezy price.
Right. And the controversy behind.
Totally. No controversy here.
No controversy.
Shira's a great girl. No controversy.
But the colors are like a big part of it, because they're definitely comfort colors. They have denim.
Seafoam. I think Boysenberry is one. But they're really like toned down blues, reds, and they're just, they're awesome. And we hope you can take a look, support us, support Shira.
And not to mention, but like, not only do we want to support Shira, but like, we genuinely love these sweatshirts. And if we haven't made that clear already, and they are like very great quality.
Yes.
Like that's something that I think is really important to mention, because even though I said not to mention.
Not to mention.
They're really great quality, and you don't feel like you're buying something from like Forever 21.
Yes.
You know, or
yes,
like H&M. Like, right, this is like high quality clothing.
Totally.
And so we're really excited. We hope you're excited. We hope you check it out. And again, just DM one of us or Shira. We'll give you her Instagram handle.
Definitely.
With the code IFIF.
Yeah, you can check them out. Samash New York, SimashNewYork on Instagram.
Oh, wow. That was really good.
In case anyone didn't know how to spell New York.
Samash New York, yeah.
But you can check them out. We'll definitely link to the brand and to Shira on our podcast page. So we hope you enjoy the episode.
Bye. I mean, hello. So today we have a really special guest. I know we say that every time. We're really excited about this one. Even when it's just us, I'm like, the special guest list. Special
yeah. Guests. Yeah. We're recording live from Philadelphia, from my boyfriend's lovely apartment complex.
This is the studio for today. The studio changes every time.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we are here with Jordan Britt, who is a local Philly, I would say, like, influencer,
gal.
Blogger, I don't really Instagrammer. Know what to call me. Great gal. We just met and we're so excited that she is here on the podcast with us. You actually reached out to me, which I thought was very lovely, and you kind of just want to share your story.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about who you are, and if you can just, actually we need to do Peek and Pit first. See, this is what I mean.
Oh yeah.
First, tell us, give us a little intro about like who you are more generally. We'll get into the mental health.
Okay.
A little after.
So my name is Jordan Britt. My middle name is not Britt, as it says on my Instagram, yeah. As Liz thought. So I do a little bit of everything career-wise. So okay. I consult for social media. My background's in production. And I also do makeup on the side. So if you guys want to hit me up, and I'll do your makeup. My fiance, I'm still not used to saying that.
When did you get engaged?
November 27th. So the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, congrats.
His name is Rick Lovato. He is the long snapper for the Eagles. So that's why I'm here in Philly. And that's pretty much it about me.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Tampa, Florida originally.
Okay, cool.
How did you two meet?
We met on Bumble.
Yeah. No way. Oh, you just gave me so much hope.
Yeah, there is hope. There are good guys out there on those dating apps. So
when did
don't
you
give
meet
up
him?
On the swiping. We met, I guess, 3 years ago. In New York City. So I was living in New York. I was working for a website doing their production there. And he swiped on me a month before I swiped on him. And I guess my radius was like all the way out here in Philly because he was already here. And we met on Mother's Day of 2016, I guess it was.
Okay.
And then we were inseparable ever since. I literally moved to Philly 2 months after we started dating.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I just knew.
That's
thank God that amazing. Worked out.
So. He was playing for the Eagles then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's do Peek and Pit.
Okay.
Jordan, do you mind starting?
I will start. So okay. I just do Peek first and then
we like doing
go around.
Pit first and
oh,
then
pit first.
Yeah, like you do your pit then Peek.
Okay.
And then we'll each do our pit then Peek.
Got it. Okay. So I guess my pit is so I'm going through the wedding planning process right now. And I'm learning, well, I guess it's really coming to the surface, is that I have control issues. And it's been a really, really stressful week as far as, like, trying to pick venues, trying to pick different things within the wedding. And, you know, Rick has kind of given me, like, a little bit of pushback, as men naturally do. So that's really been stressful to let my controlling personality kind of take a step back. So that's been really tough this week.
Totally. I mean, not that we know much about planning weddings, but that's like the first time in your life you're making the biggest decisions, but also the first time you're doing it with someone else. So I can understand why that's like very overwhelming.
Yes. And it's for everyone that you know and love coming to basically judge your day. So it's like,
oh my gosh,
you want
scary.
It to be perfect, but you also want it to be a representation of who you are as a couple. So that's hard to combine. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then what was your peak?
My peak was New Year's Eve, which I can't believe is still this week.
Yeah.
Was this week. I went to a murder mystery party and I solved the murder.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
I know.
How many people were there?
Like 9, but still.
No, you won.
Yeah. It was a 1920s party, which everyone did, but.
My God, that's really cool.
Yeah, we thought we were really original doing it, but we were not, so. Yeah.
That's so fun.
It was really fun. I was really excited.
We should do something like that.
Wow. Yeah, we should.
Getting really all these fun. Ideas.
Well, okay. I can kick it
you
off.
Kick
I
it
can
off?
Segue. So my pit, I'm sure people listening maybe can relate, was going back to work on Thursday. I went back after January 2nd and it just was like, it really was like reality hits. And I think the January to March time period is incredibly like you have nothing to look forward to. Like, yes, the holidays are overwhelming and stressful, but there's so many breaks like between treachery. There's like, oh, I get to go be home with my family. Oh, I get to like celebrate and hang out with my friends. This period of time is just like cold, dark, and nothing to look forward to. And that gave me a lot of anxiety. And yeah, but my peak was also New Year's Eve. I just like had such an amazing time. And it was the type of night where me and my friends like actually all had so much fun together, and we stayed up so late, and we like had so many adventures of like trying to order food and realizing that everything in Philly closes before 2. So we had to go to Wawa, and the sandwich line was too long. So we ended up just getting a bunch of snacks, and it was just a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it. How about you, Sarah?
So I don't love New Year's Eve. Like, yeah. I really struggle with it.
I don't think anyone really loves New Year's Eve.
Some people do. Like, some of my closest friends want to get married on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I do love New Year's Eve.
But you're not the only one. Like, I know a lot of people that do.
I am not one of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which, you know, if I have a plus one to bring, I will be so happy to come to your wedding on New Year's Eve.
Totally.
But if I don't have a plus one, like, it's going to be rough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just letting you know to all my friends, please delay it as as much as you can.
Yeah. It won't be a problem.
But I would say my pit of the week was probably like the feeling I had before New Year's Eve, because I just never know how it's going to go. I don't know, like, you know, just being a single gal in New York City, like, it's difficult to find friends who are also single who want mm-hmm. to just like have fun. And so I kind of had a pit about it beforehand, but you know, it's not my peak, but the night ended up being really fun. I had a really great time. So I'm really thankful for that. And my peak of the week was honestly, I mean, I guess the peak of the week was New Year's Eve, because like it was the most fun thing I did this week, because there was nothing else going on this week.
Totally.
I guess the peak of the week is that like I didn't have work this week at all. Like, I go back to work on Monday.
Oh, wow.
So I guess the peak of the week for me is that I got to just like chill on Thursday and Friday, and a lot of people had to go back to work, mm-hmm. and I got to just like hang out, take care of things, relax. And so that was really nice.
Love that.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Okay, so Jordan, can you tell us about like your mental health journey, however much or little you want to tell us?
Yes. So my mental health journey starts, I can't even tell you what age, because I've struggled with different aspects of mental health issues, I guess I would call them. I had anger issues growing up. Mm. Then anxiety and depression really kicked in. So my dad actually passed away when I was 14 on my first day of high school.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So when you're an adolescent, that really does something to you that you don't really understand when you're that age.
Right.
So it really took its toll on me when I got to college, and then after college, because I didn't really grieve, I didn't really go through any of that I knew of. So when I was so young, I just, you know, my mind kind of pushed it away. So then it manifested in anxiety and really, really deep depression, which I still struggle with to this day. I mean, it's not really something that goes away, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just been a lifelong journey, and I'm just chugging along.
Here we are.
When did you start, like, I guess, talking about it or coming to terms like, okay, maybe I should start, mm-hmm. you know,
like addressing it.
Yeah.
Probably in college. So my freshman year, I actually went to University of Alabama my freshman year. And then I transferred.
Roll Tide.
No.
Then
I transferred to University of Florida.
Got it.
So go Gators.
Go Gators. One of my best friends went there.
Yeah. It was a much better experience for me there. It was closer to my family and everything.
Yeah.
But there were just days when I would not leave my bed. And especially at Alabama, I was like taking NyQuil in the middle of the day just so I could sleep. Mm. And I was just like so depressed, didn't want to leave, didn't want to do anything, gained a ton of weight. And then I got to University of Florida, and there were still days when I was just crying all day. And I would call my mom, and I was like, I don't know what's wrong. I'm just sad. And I feel like that's like the best way to describe depression, is you don't know what's happening, but mm-hmm. you just can't get out of it, and you can't climb out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was like, you know, I think it's time that we actually do something about this. It's not just like, oh, you're a woman growing up and you're going through hormones and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started on antidepressants, going to therapy and all of that. And it got better. But then I was in New York. I was, you know, living alone, living with roommates that I really didn't like. And, you know, being a single girl in New York, going to a job that I was loving, but my hours were crazy. I was up at, you know, 6 a.m, getting home at 8:30 at night, like just working to the bone. I was just sad, just all the time sad. And then I actually got my hormones checked, which if you haven't, that actually really does help. So So now I've gotten that kind of leveled out, and I still take antidepressants and for anxiety and everything, and kind of work through that. So, yeah.
And then what recently has made you want to share more of your journey, like on your platform, on this podcast?
So I had a, I have a blog, I guess I should say. I haven't really written on it since the summer, because that actually brings about a lot of anxiety for me for some reason. I'm kind of a people pleaser, and I care a lot about what people think. And it's really hard to be a blogger when that's all you're thinking about. So I started sharing a little bit on my blog. It was becoming more popular on social media, I would say, like the hashtag, like, it's okay to not be okay. So I kind of like fell into that. I really liked that people were talking about it. Not that that really changes anything, because, you know, suicide rates are still high and people are still suffering and everything. But I think when people know, like, I'm not saying I'm in the spotlight or anything, but like people follow me because of Rick a lot of the time. And for people to know that someone who has this fantastic life of what they think it is also struggles. So it's okay to not be okay, I guess, but just to be able to relate to that.
Totally. Yeah. And we love that. I mean, I think that's, if you're, whoever might be listening for the first time, like that's what we're all about, is like, especially with social media, like everything can seem so amazing, but it's not. And that's why we want to have the conversation around mental health, because we feel that opening the dialogue can help people who may have never spoken about it before understand that, like, they're not alone. They're not the only ones going through it. Like, I know Liz and I resonate with a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I like your point about having a platform where people come to you to kind of, like, view and see, like, the aesthetic and how pretty and how great everything looks, but also, like, peeling back the curtain on that and, you know, exposing people to something they might not, they might think that no one else deals with.
Yeah.
I actually, someone DM'd me recently and said, like, it was just a troll. And she DM'd me being like, you know, you act like you're better, but you're not. Like, talking about how I talk about my anxiety and my eating disorder, and just kind of like calling me out for, you know, posting pretty pictures, but having a mental illness. And I was so taken aback, like, wait a minute. So everything that we do is supposed to be like either dark or either light. Like, it can't be both. And I think you touched on something really important, which is like, you can have a lot of great things in your life that you want to share, that you want to use to bring people to your platform, and also be struggling. And I think that that's actually like a really wonderful thing that people like you are doing. So it's great.
And I think that, you know, just because we're struggling with anxiety or depression or an eating disorder doesn't mean we have to like always be like sad and not like trying and to
posting about that. Yeah. Like, no one wants, I mean, really, in reality, no one really wants to see that, you know, like they want to see the hope and they want to see like what can come out of that.
Exactly.
And like, you know, like you're blossoming and all that, you know.
Exactly.
So
totally. So I do want to ask a little bit about like how you've dealt with grief, because I know that you've spoken about it publicly and what you went through with your dad. So how have you sort of dealt with grief as it relates to your mental health, you know, throughout the course of your life?
Yeah. I think, you know, as of recently, I think I actually like got through all, I don't really remember what all the stages of grief are, to be honest with you, but I think I finally got through, it's been 12 years since my dad passed. Okay. I think I finally just got through all of the steps of grief. So, and there's no like right or wrong for anybody to go through grief, but it really, I really got stuck in like the anxiety part of it, because I get so scared about someone I love passing. And then I also have this weird like disconnect from people where like I don't want to get too close to them because I don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So
hi, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it becomes this really fine line that I've been, you know, dancing on for the past few years. And that really manifested itself in my relationship with Rick.
That was our next question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really tough on us because he's never experienced loss like I have, and a lot of people haven't at our age. And sometimes he doesn't have the right thing to say, but I think the reason why we work is that he's there for me and he just listens. I think that's really important for someone that's going through grief, or if someone comes to talk to you about grief, is just to listen, because there's nothing you can say that's going to make it feel better or bring that person back or whatever it is they lost back. But I've been so scared to lose him, and I got so attached to him really quickly And, you know, a lot of guys would run away, but, you know, he stayed and he wants to marry me. So he's the one, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was sort of our next question was, like, I think a lot of our listeners are either people in relationships or, mm-hmm. you know, dating and trying to figure out how, if at all, do I involve my partner in my mental health, especially mm-hmm. if there's someone who doesn't necessarily go through the same things that I go through. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I found the biggest thing for us is communication about what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it. So a lot of times I'll just like yell at him for something small and it'll be because of this mm-hmm. that is like coming up in my mind that mm-hmm. I don't even realize. And he'll take the time and kind of be like, okay, well, why are you feeling like that? Why? He's basically a therapist. He's like, why are you, you know, yelling at me for this? And I'm like, oh, it's because of, you know, A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. So I think communicating of what you're actually feeling and actually taking the time to look in yourself and be like, why am I actually, you know, lashing out? Or, you know, why am I sad about this? Why did that really stick with me? So really, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be in a relationship when you're going through issues like that, but it's really understanding yourself mm-hmm. because you can't expect somebody else to understand you if you're not really
right.
comprehending what's happening with your totally. Own.
And also, it's pretty incredible that you found someone who is like willing to work through it with you, because yeah. I, like, we don't have the same history, but I also struggle with like a really deep fear of like losing people, and mm-hmm. That's just come from different things. But in relationships, I found that it's like really difficult to help someone understand, like,
yeah,
if I'm upset about something small, it's not really that one isolated event. It really is like so much more. Yes. And it's really hard to find people that are like willing to work with me on it. And like, that doesn't mean that like it's something that they have to deal with, but it's something
yeah.
that you want to listen to and like
definitely
and understand, because sometimes you need a second to be like, okay, wait, like, let's talk this through. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, I've find it difficult to find someone who's not just like, all right, peace. You know what I yeah. mean?
Well, I think when you do find the person that's going to sit and talk with you and be patient, that's probably one that you want to hold on to mm-hmm. because, you know, someone who actually loves you and really wants to help you get better and, you know, go through the journey with you, that's when you know that it's, you know, a right relationship for the time being, you know.
So in terms of Rick, and I don't know, obviously talk about it how much or how little mm-hmm. you want to talk about it, but something that I immediately thought of was like, when you're with someone whose career is sort of determined by contracts and cities and mm-hmm. changes within the league, like, does that contribute to your anxiety? Like, is there a level of uncertainty, or is that something that like you thrive in? Mm. Does that make sense?
I would not say I thrive in that. Yeah, so this year he actually found out that he got a contract extension for 4 years, which is a huge deal because we've been living year to year.
Right.
You know, getting renewed or not getting renewed. And that's how it is for a lot of the guys in the league. So to have some sort of security for the next couple of years, that doesn't even mean that we'll be here for 4 years. That means we'll maybe be here for two and then they'll like revisit it in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely very, very stressful. And it does bring about a level of anxiety, but not as much as you think, because it doesn't come around until the end of the season. Right. Through the season, you're just trying to get through the season and just try to like see the light at the end of the tunnel and just, you know, go game by game, because that's what's most important during the season. Like I always say, my life goes on hold during football season.
Yes.
You can't do anything because mm-hmm. your life is revolving around these games. Mm-hmm. Like I had plans to go to, you know, the Dirty Jeans tour next week.
At
Atlantic City next week. Oh. But like, I don't know if I'll be able to go if they continue on after this week.
Right.
Because I might be going wherever they go. So my life is kind of like
a little up in the air.
Yeah.
And then on a more granular level, like, do you find yourself having anxiety watching games? Because I do. And I don't have a fiance who's on the team.
So I'm very lucky that Rick is only on the field. So he's a long snapper. So right. he snaps the ball for field goals, punts, and extra points. So he's not on the field a good amount of the time, which is really nice. So you don't have to worry about concussions and, you know, him getting hit a bunch.
That is a really great plot. It's like bonus.
They say it's like the best position to have in the NFL, which it really is. So wow. it's one of the safest. Knock on wood. But he's definitely a perfectionist. So I know that he's going to go out there and do a great job. But of course, anybody watching someone they love play a physical contact sport is going to have, you know, be nervous and have anxiety. But I get more nervous for other women watching their significant others because they're the ones, you know, catching the ball, getting tackled, mm-hmm. doing all those things. But of course I want Rick to do well and snap the ball perfect, but
mm-hmm. yeah, for yeah. sure. So then in terms of like your family, do you involve them in conversations about your mental health, or who do you think have been the primary advocates in your life?
I would say definitely my mom. My mom knows I'm very, very close with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to her almost every day. So she gets those crying phone calls, the screaming phone calls, all of that, that I don't want to put on Rick. And then, I mean, my whole family knows because they have all gone through the grief mm-hmm. journey and everything. But I'd say probably my sister in New York, she understands the most because we're the most alike.
Okay.
I think.
How many siblings do you have?
I have 5 siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So well, some of them are 6. Half. So I'm 6. So I'm the baby. But 3 of them live in New York City, and then 1 lives in New Jersey and 1 in Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah. We're kind of all over. Yeah. So my one sister in New York, she really, I know I can always talk to her about it, and she just never judges. Not that any of my family does, but I know I can go to her and feel okay mm-hmm. doing it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, are there things that you wish people could know about you that you may not feature on your Instagram?
Well, for one, I'm very short, and I think people don't realize that when they, like, meet me in person. They're like, oh, my gosh, I thought you were, like, 5'6". And I'm like, whoa, I wish.
Well, how tall are you?
5 feet.
Oh, 5 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Flat. I didn't even, like, you walking in, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I realized when I saw you, but I you just have, like, a, I don't know what it is, but you have, like, a big Instagram presence. So I guess in our brains, that makes you tall.
Well, people think, like, when I take pictures with Rick, they're like, oh, you're, like, not that short compared to him. I'm like, I'm always wearing heels. Like,
right.
Yeah. Ew. So that, and I would say, like, even though, so I met somebody a couple years ago, and my Instagram feed, if you follow me, is, I have, like, the bright, you know, like, the toasty vibes, I guess I would say. Big toaster. it's, like, very bright and, like, neon-y kind of, and I met someone, and they caught me on, like, a bad day, and they were, like, you know, I thought you were going to be this, like, light and bubbly person, and you were, like, really kind of not. And I was like, that's really offensive. Wait, and I was like, I'm not allowed. Yeah, they, like, messaged me. And I was like, you know, everyone has bad days. Like, yeah, I'm that's posting really these weird. Really bright pictures, and these are really happy moments. But not every day, like, minute of my life mm-hmm. is happy and bright and, you know, airy. So people need to remember that for everybody, I think. Give them a break.
I think it really comes back to the fact that, like, people really think, and including myself, like, I'm guilty of this too. Like, I see people on Instagram who seemingly have, like, this perfect life, and I'm just like, well, they must be so happy and everything's perfect. And, like, if I met them in person, they'd be like, hi, yeah, like, everything's so great, you know, like, and, like, you forget on social media that, like, everyone struggles with something.
Definitely.
But I probably would never say that to someone.
Yeah, I could not believe that they said that to me. I was like, okay.
It's, like, pretty ballsy.
Sounds great.
Like, you were kind of rude. Okay. Like, I was really
sad. Oh, my gosh. Like,
I also think, like, it's kind of twofold, because I think there's people like you who are trying to make more of an effort to, like, be responsible in terms of, like, what you're sharing, but also, like, mm-hmm. you're sharing these beautiful, awesome pictures, but you're also like, hey, like, I struggle too. But mm-hmm. it also involves, like, people who are on Instagram need to learn a little bit that, like, it's an app and we're all kind of curating a feed, and that doesn't mean that, like, this is all bright and airy. Like, I think there needs to be some literacy on behalf of, like, the audience, and, like, if we can, like, teach kids or teach young people who go on social media, like, hey, just so you know, like, we're all kind of putting up pretty pictures, and it might not be representative of everything. So, like, it involves mm-hmm. both the people who are posting, but also the people who are looking. Like, we have to be, you know, cautious about teaching mm-hmm. people who are on the app how it really works.
And it's, you know, it's really kind of sad, because do you remember when they were going to roll out the likes being taken away?
Yeah, yeah.
Mine didn't either. And I was really kind of looking forward to that, because I get so anxious about people liking my pictures and all of that. And, like, it gives me such anxiety. And that's why I can't really do the blogger thing. Like, yeah, everyone would love more followers. Like, you can ask anybody. They mm-hmm. would want more followers. But
totally.
With more followers comes more responsibility to be mm-hmm. putting out content that is going to make people happy and make people interact with you, and sometimes I just don't want to interact with people, you know.
I think, like, even with TikTok now, like, are you on TikTok?
So my friend was just showing me some TikTok videos, and they were really funny, but I don't know if it's for me.
Yeah, Well, I've gone through a journey where at first I was like, this is not for me. And now I'm like, this was made for me.
Yes.
But like even with TikTok, like there are new influencers on TikTok. They're all between 15 and 20 years old. And like so many people comment on their videos with really negative things because they want to make them feel badly because they think that their lives are perfect. So they're like, I want like, they're like, so like, they're like upset. They're like, why do they get a perfect life and I don't? So I'm going to comment something mean so that they like feel worse about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it really affects those people. Like they literally say like, they like, we don't read the comments because we can't.
Well, that's how I feel like a lot of celebrities are like, even when, I mean, Rick is not a celebrity by any means, but when the Eagles post pictures of him, people comment such negative things like, who is this? We don't even know who this is. Like, what is he doing on the team? Because no one knows who the long snapper is. And even when like people, when the Eagles post pictures about Carson or like even on Carson Wentz, the quarterback, Instagram, like the comments are just so mean. And like a lot of people just don't read the comments. And Rick always tells me, he's like, stop reading the comments. I'm like, I have to see it.
I know. There's like people who comment on those think that because they're NFL players that like they're untouchable and like they can never, their comments can never affect them, or the opposite, like they're trying to affect them so much that they comment those things. But there's like, just because someone has a level of fame or notoriety doesn't mean that like they can't be affected by those types of things. Yeah.
And just like to touch on the other side of how we talked about like pulling back the curtain of like someone having a fantastic life and everything. Like Rick struggles with anxiety too. Like his hair is falling out because of football, like because it's so stressful and like people don't know and they don't care. They're like, oh, you are in the NFL. Like, what do you care? Like, go bald. And I'm like, I love his hair. but you know, like just little things like that where it's and he, like, it's just stuff that drives me nuts.
Right. Now and I'm also just like
venting, but
no, like, no, we love it. And also like, you know, it's also his job. So like it must be like, obviously, of course, very exciting. And it's like probably a dream, but like, it comes to a point where like, this is your everyday life. It's not every day waking up being like, this is the best day of my life. Like it becomes your career. And then you have to like worry, you end up worrying about things again because it's life and you can't just wake up every day and be like, wow, like I'm on the Eagles. Like he's probably like, okay, this is my job. And like, I have other concerns. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. 100%. Like he always says it's a business and that's his place of work.
Right.
And those are his coworkers. Like, and we like forget because it's not like your typical like 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But like they pay our bills, you know, like that's just the way it is. And they could get rid of us in a second.
Right.
So.
And I think like the idea that there's no pressure on them and everything's great because they're football players, like it's the opposite. Like the whole, there's pressure from the whole city, the whole country, really. Like
exactly.
You're under scrutiny all the time. And I don't know if this would be something you would know much about, but like from your perspective, is mental health a conversation like on a team of professional athletes that are men?
It should be. I know.
Let's bring this podcast to the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I know. It always comes back to them. It's okay. Yeah. I know Brandon Brooks kind of opened up about it a little bit recently, and that was the first that I've heard about it within like the NFL realm, because I think they're supposed to be like these big strong men, and I feel like that's how it was in like the army, like when people were experiencing things like that. But he and a few other people, they like throw up before games because they're so nervous. I mean, I can't imagine going to work every day and feeling that amount of pressure.
Right.
That just blows my mind that they're able to do that, and it's such a short window of their life that like wreaks havoc on their body for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I have a sidebar question.
Yeah.
Do you ever get tired of talking about it?
In certain situations, but most of the time, like, you know, like that's what my
it's
life
just a part
is
of your
and
life.
Like I love it and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
And I love Rick, so like I don't want to like ever talk about him. Like I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's nice.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, that's fine. I brought it up.
Because we care. Because we want to know about you.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, that's a huge part of who I am.
Right.
So I love talking about it.
Do you like, how do you maintain your sense of self and identity when you feel like a lot of your life is dictated by this? Like,
yeah, you know, that's a very hard question. I think in the beginning, I really kind of lost sight of what the heck I was doing. Because I had just moved to Philly. I had loved my job in New York, but they had kind of weaned out my role there. So I really didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing here. You know, I was like, why did I move here? Like, for this guy that I barely know, like, I love him, but like, what am I doing? And I kind of fell into like, oh, I'm an NFL girlfriend, like, you know, doing all that whole thing, trying to fit in with the other women. And mm-hmm. like, those were not my people. And don't get me wrong, I've made really great friends within the NFL women, but some of them are just not my people. It just as like when you meet someone at of work, course, they're totally. Not your people.
It's like your fiance's coworker's
wife. Exactly. Like, exactly. And that's totally. What he always has to tell me that when I'm like, they don't like me. And he's like, because that's like my boss's wife. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Or like something like that. No, Doug Peterson's wife is actually very nice, but
we love Doug.
Yeah. But I like was trying to do a bunch of different jobs, like trying to find a new career, and nothing was panning out. And I was like, maybe I'm just not supposed to be doing anything. Like, I don't know. I was like, I want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend. And then I got upgraded to a stay-at-home fiance. But
that's very that. Nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. But of course, like, I want to do something for myself.
Of
and
course, yeah.
I just have to remember, like, this is not my time right now. Like, what we're focusing on is Rick's career, so we can set up for my time afterwards. So it's just something that I have to remember sometimes. And mm-hmm. I got to hold down the fort for him and be that support system when he comes home so that he can stop losing hair. I mean, he's gonna go bald anyway because his dad is bald, but you know, just in general.
Yeah, I love that, because I think a lot of the time, while your situation is like unique, mm-hmm. I think a lot of women especially experience this thing of like, how do I make sure that I have a sense of self in my relationship? And sometimes mm-hmm. that involves sacrifice. Like,
yeah,
maybe at this point, you know, I have a boyfriend who's studying for this like huge exam. And so, okay, he gets the like the front, yeah. the driver's seat right now. And I want to be like a support for him, because in 2 years, maybe I'll be taking an exam, or
exactly.
I'll be doing this thing and he'll be supporting me.
Exactly.
So I like that. And I think it's like a very realistic thing that people mm-hmm. probably have trouble talking about yeah. sometimes.
It took me a while to get to that realization, because I was like, this is unfair. Why does he get so much attention? I even struggled with this recently, because when we got engaged, literally 2 weeks later, he made the Pro Bowl. So all of the focus was taken off our engagement. And I was like, what the heck? I just want one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just one. But then I had to like take a step back and be like, these are amazing things and I shouldn't be upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, like, we really need to make it okay for women to, you know, if there are stay-at-home moms, there's a lot of like
stigma
about being a stay-at-home mom, totally. Or like not working or anything. Like, own that. Can I cuss?
Yeah,
own that shit.
Yeah,
like
we were actually just talking
yeah,
about
like
this with
we were just
the
talking
movie.
About this.
Did you see the movie Little Women?
No, not yet.
You really should. We just saw it the other day, and like, I want to let you keep going, but the
yeah.
moral of the story is that in the movie, like, the women want part, some of the women want to just like go and like be their own boss, do their own thing, be a writer, go to New York City. And then the
yeah.
other woman was like, but you have to respect that. Like, I want to get married and like have a family.
Yeah.
And we were just like, yes, because like,
yeah,
it's of course it's good to have your own ambitions, but like, it's also cool to like
want
yeah.
to have a family.
Have a family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to have, and I would love to have an amazing career later on and everything, but like, you can't take your career with you when you die. I mean, you can't take anybody you love with you when you die, but you like, you can look back at all those memories and have know that you made an impact on people in your life, not just like the corporate world. So
totally.
Yeah. And I think like, you're able to reflect on him making the Pro Bowl and be like, wow, I get to be part of that. Like, of course,
yeah.
there's a level of like, well, I wish this focus was on me a little bit, but like, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to reflect in 50 years and be like, what an amazing memory that we had together.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, but Little Women was great. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Okay. I would definitely.
You should. How did you get into doing makeup on the side?
So I've always done people in my family's makeup. I just loved doing it. And I never thought I was like good enough to actually like go out and do it and like mm-hmm. start my own business or anything like that. And I don't do that right now. But I'm going to do like a little plug for Lux Detans. They're mobile tanning in Philly.
Ooh, love it.
So she goes around and does it with another girl on her team, but she just started a mobile makeup thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on there a little bit.
That's
so
great.
Very nice. Like a
yeah.
mini glam squad situation.
Yeah, basically.
I
so
that.
I'd go to your house and do your makeup. So
I do love that.
We
for
love
your
a
wedding,
side hustle.
Liz.
Oh yeah. For my wedding.
Which
is that coming?
No.
She's not engaged.
Oh,
okay.
She's not engaged.
I'm just saying, one day.
I just got a new therapist. I'm really excited.
Oh, you did?
I haven't been to
Wait,
therapy
do you,
in like
do you,
years.
Should we cut this out or should we keep this out?
We can keep some of it. I want to hear if you're comfortable
yeah.
talking about your therapist.
Yeah. Well, I haven't met her yet, but I have my first session next week.
Okay.
I haven't been to therapy in years, so I'm actually really excited. But it was after that whole, my pit about being controlling for the wedding. I was like, it's time. It's time to take some of the pressure off, or I can kind of give it to somebody else. So
yeah.
Love therapy. Every Monday I go to therapy, and like I leave and I'm just like, I cannot wait for next Monday. I asked her last week, I'm like, can you just like come with me everywhere I go? And she was like, no. We're going to work on doing that for your brain. But like, I can't do that for you. I was like, okay. But I love you.
Wait, can I hear a little, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but you can cut this out obviously if you want, but like your mental health.
Oh, for sure.
We can talk about it.
We love talking
about ourselves. That's why we started a podcast. Sarah, you can start.
Okay. I'm like, sure.
I'd love to. Twist my arm.
Yeah. So it's actually really funny because I started going to therapy my senior year of college, which was in 2016. January of 2016.
Okay.
So 4 years ago this month was when I started.
Wow.
And I remember like some of the first things that I would say was like, I was very anxious. I was like, I don't know where it was coming from. I was just always feeling like on edge. My chest was always feeling tight. I didn't really understand what was happening. I knew that there were like a couple things in my life that were, you know, scary to me. Like I was going to be graduating soon. I was going to be moving to New York City. I knew that. Mm-hmm. Didn't know where I was going to be working. I was dating someone who did not treat me well. Like there were just like a lot of things happening. And my therapist was like, okay, like, where do you think this started? And I was like, it definitely started freshman year of college. Like I was convinced that like I had never experienced anxiety before freshman year of college. And I was like, I think like my fear of losing people really started when like this one friend was mean to me. And then she was like, okay. And then we kind of like talked through it. And I realized that my childhood was not as perfect as I thought it was. And, you know, I mean, that's not to say that like my parents, I always feel guilty. I'm going to talk about this even though it makes me like sad. But like, I usually feel really guilty talking about like the way my parents raised me, because I feel like I'm saying that they didn't do a great job. They did the best they can and the best they could. And they still do. Yeah. But inevitably, like two people coming together to raise a child, it's hard. And I guess I'm still working through it.
Even
but
if there's things that they do that aren't inherently negative, they can affect you and how you are and how you're raised in a way that results maybe in an anxiety. And that that's not necessarily a poor reflection of them, but it's hard to talk about because we're talking about it publicly.
Right.
And it's like, the way that I was raised may give me anxiety, and that some people are like, well, are you saying that it's because of your parents? It's like, no, they did the best they could.
Right. They did the best they could. Absolutely. Yeah. And like, I mean, if anyone's interested, you can look it up online. Anxiety attachment style. Like that's what I have. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm still learning through it. I'm still working through it. But like, I've learned that like my relationships with friends, significant others, people, it's just like, I have, I'm just like very anxious about losing people and I'm not going to like go too far into it, but I've just learned a lot of things about my childhood that made me who I am today. And like, there's positives, but there's also negatives as anyone has. But I've just learned a lot about like why I am the way I am. And I've just, I've been in therapy now for like on and off, but mainly on for like 4 years. And I've learned a lot about like why I am who I am, but also like tools to help me with my relationships in my life. And it's been really useful, really helpful. But yeah, I still get anxious like all the time. Sometimes I don't know why, and sometimes I can really pinpoint it. But I think therapy has helped me pinpoint it more. Like, where is this coming from? Like, I'm learning how to be more like vocal about it to people that are in my life. But, you know, it's learning every day. So
yeah.
I hope that made sense.
It did.
Okay.
I'm still like learning about my mental health journey, because every time I go back and reflect onto where it started, I'm like, maybe it started there. But I think, you know, I started going to therapy when I was like 12 with my dad, because I told my dad that I didn't want to switch houses anymore. My parents are divorced, and they divorced when I was 2. And I think that was merely like, I just was tired of switching houses. Like, you're 12 and you want to like have all your clothes in one place and like have all your friends sleep over at one place. It wasn't anything deeper, but my parents were kind of like, all right, if you're making this decision, then we want you to, you know, talk to someone with your dad. And so I talked to a therapist with my dad, and my therapist was like, wait a minute, I think you're kind of experiencing things separate from this issue. So I, you know, have had anxiety for as long as I can remember, depression for as long as I can remember, different stages of management. Like, so sometimes it's been worse than others. When I also have control stuff too, and that really manifested itself when I was 16, 17 with eating disorders all throughout college. I mean, an eating disorder, but in different iterations. And, you know, that is something I'm technically recovered from, but it's I hate saying this, but it's true. Like, it doesn't really go away. You get, it's the same as anxiety. Like, you kind of just learn to manage it differently. And someone who's recovered doesn't necessarily, like, now have a totally normal relationship with food and with eating, because, like, unfortunately, women never really do anymore. Yeah. So that's the complicated thing about eating disorders. But yeah, I mean, I think now I kind of deal with anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. talk a lot about it on the podcast. I've had a lot of anxiety that's circumstantial this year related to, like, what I'm going to do living in a different city from my family and my boyfriend for the first time. And also, I think a lot of my anxiety is, like, related to my childhood, which any therapist would probably initially talk to you about. I think it's, like, related to trauma, but also biological. It runs in my family, and we talk about it a lot.
Yeah, runs in my family, too.
Yeah, me too.
We're still, like, it's like we have no hope. No, we have so much hope.
But I don't think, here's the thing. A part of the reason why I am who I am and I have the anxiety I have is because no one in my family has ever talked about it, ever.
Yes, yeah. No, I agree.
So now I'm kind of the one in my family that's like, hello, we got to talk about this. And my parents are finally like, oh, like, okay, like, sure. Like, I don't, when I first started talking about anxiety, they were like, no, like, we don't talk about, like, we don't even know what that is. But now they're, like, so open to it. So I really think that, like, we are the trailblazers that are changing the way, I mean, the future.
Agreed.
But seriously, no, we're but changing really the future is. With this.
I really do think, I mean, you, when you first started talked about suicide rates, and, like, I genuinely think that the more that people talk about it, the less in the dark we are, and, like, mental illness feels incredibly lonely. I think that's, like, the primary component.
Definitely.
That takes, you know, anxiety from bad to very, very bad. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is, like, keep a conversation going so that it just becomes a more normalized conversation, and so that people who are experiencing very, very bad anxiety, very bad depression can feel like they can go to a doctor to get help, just like you'd go to a doctor if you had cancer or a knee injury. We've talked about that a little bit. So it's just, like, important to make it a more normal conversation. We appreciate when people, like, you are so willing to do it, especially when you have a public platform.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's great that you have, I mean, when I saw that you posted about your podcast and everything, that it was centered around mental health, because you don't see that. Like, that's not something that people are openly talking about, which I think is really unbelievable. And I think, you know, the sky's the limit for you guys with this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I just can't wait to see where it goes for you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I really hope, I just wanted to add one quick thing to what we were saying before.
Yeah.
I really hope that, like, by having these conversations, that kids now, like, young kids in school, don't feel the need to bully people as much, because they're more aware that there's things going on that they might not see on the surface. So, like, that, my hope is that, like, maybe right now, like, people our age are still trying to figure it out, but I just hope that, like,
there's sort of a trickle down.
Yeah, like, I just hope that young kids aren't, like, bullying as much, you know?
Well, that's what I was, you know, feeding off that is, you know, it starts with our generation when we have kids. Hopefully we can teach our kids, you know, different mechanisms to deal with that instead of, like, it coming out and bullying other kids. Like, if they're having issues, not, like, you know, teaching them what anxiety is when they're four, but like, if you see signs of it, because we're so aware of things now, maybe, you know, just be more aware of things going around and the people in your life. So
agreed. Our generation's kind of like the guinea pigs for figuring out mental health, because our parents were finally like, okay, like, we're realizing this is a thing, and we're the ones who are, like, trying to figure it
in
out
in the dark. Yeah,
so, like, hopefully with every next generation, there will be more conversation and understanding. But we definitely want you to plug yourself. So tell us where our listeners can find you.
You can mostly find me on Instagram. I would say that's where I'm the most active on social media. It's at Jordan Britt, JORDANBRITT _. That's pretty much it.
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height, LizHeight. You can follow the podcast at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. You can come to my yoga classes in New York City. If you're ever in New York City, please.
Yeah, I'm there a lot.
Come to Core Power Yoga. Your first week is free. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm a teacher there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You can hit up Jordan for makeovers. You can support the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
you
go
can,
Birds.
Yeah, go Birds.
Go Birds.
We're
I'm, like, from Princeton.
Low-key Birds podcast.
And she's from Philly. So
Birds podcast.
We're both Eagles
Birds
fans.
And mental health.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye.